Welcome to TSW After Dark Side.
Right.
Everyone exhausted.
Good? Yeah, fine.
You tired, April?
Oh, so tired, it's not funny.
Mate.
Mrs. J's gone to Thailand, didn't she?
So oh, she's gone.
We did the 4 a.m. Heathrow run yesterday.
Oh,
and
dear.
Then we followed, because Asia obviously wanted to follow the flight, so we followed her flights all the way until midnight.
Really?
Flight radar, yeah. So that was like a, what was that yesterday, a 20-hour day? I reckon I slept about 4 hours. But never mind.
Are you off work?
I am now until Monday, and then I've got 2 days, and then I've got 3 more days off, and then I quit, and then I start my new job Monday.
Wow.
It's all a bit nuts.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck indeed. Mm-hmm. Is my camera on? Can you see me?
No.
No, unless you're wearing a Starship helmet or unless you're a little curly whirly thing.
There we go.
Unless the branding has extended to Ooh. All the time.
Yeah. Put your 3D glasses on, guys.
Oh, that's creepy.
Thank you very much.
That is awful.
I could use a different digit if you prefer.
No point. Oh, look, he's going to see Lisa.
Oh, yeah, just
about. Waving.
Hello. We can hold hands.
And Poppy's asleep, just sort of.
So no farting tonight?
No, Poppy's asleep, kind of there.
There's no rum in this, I promise.
She's asleep there. You haven't got any rum?
Well, I might have.
Where's the rum always gone?
I'm just drinking tea.
That's a pint of rum.
Okay.
Look.
Oh, look at that.
Have it.
Bubblegum. Oh, have you been to eat there?
Yes, a couple of times.
Is it any good?
Yeah, this was in... You probably can't see San Francisco.
Oh, okay. They've got one in Soho as well.
Ah.
Over by Leicester Square.
It is good.
Yeah?
Okay. Shrimp po' boy is to die for.
I'm glad they're not cashing in.
They're timely as always, aren't they? 1995's Forrest Gump.
It's been around for a while.
Oh,
the restaurant, yeah. First
okay.
time
the London one's quite new.
2005 I went to one, I think, in New York. Was that the first time we went to one, Lise? Bubblegums, yeah.
It's your resident stuff. Fact checker for the evening.
Yeah.
It's a square now, isn't there?
I don't know out.
Rob's saying Soho.
Oh, Soho, is it? Yeah,
Leicester Square by the M&M World, near there.
Oh, by M&M World, Lise.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, where they don't do the full range of M&Ms.
They do not, and the ones they do have are fucking extortionate.
Yeah. Lisa likes the... Is it coconut? Yeah, can't get them anywhere.
They do coconut ones? I've never seen them.
Yeah. There's
you
a
know,
little...
I think, having said that, are they like in a white and,
yeah,
white and green
right.
pack?
Mm-hmm.
Like mostly
no, not white,
white
and green.
White and brown?
What?
Like 90% white and another colour.
There's the green ones that are mint. The coconut ones were what, Lise?
The coconut ones were white and brown.
Oh, white and brown, Rob. You're right.
White and brown. Okay. I have seen those.
They're good.
Not sure. I'll have a look. There's a couple of sweet shops near my work. So next time I'm passing, I need to pop in there anyway on another research
right
errand. So I'll
research.
Have a look. Yeah, a friend of mine, my friend bought Ghostbusters limited edition key lime Twinkies.
Oh.
But he ordered them online, but I've seen them in a shop. So I mentioned it to him, and I said to him next time I go past, I'll check the price.
Yeah.
See if it works out cheaper, or if it's not cheaper, at least if it's not massively more expensive.
Awesome.
But we shall see. But we shall see.
We shall. Shall I do a screen grab? No,
sure.
No Stephen tonight. He's on the Skype.
Oh, yeah, of course he is. I forgot about it.
Yeah. He might be anyway. So, right, let's just do this. And then we have to do... That's cool. All right, everybody ready? Do my peery eyes. It's gone.
I thought you got it earlier.
Excuse me. Let's have a look at that. So has everyone got the show notes? I've got...
Yep.
I got show notes. Yeah. I don't understand most of it, but
I've got the...
That's all right, mate.
The iPad set up. So that you don't hear the clickety-clack of my keys.
Ah, yeah, because there's a bit of that,
that's,
right?
That's ambiance.
Ambiance.
Yeah, but in this with this mic setup, it's you can hear front and behind. So if I do
Ooh, Earth.
I know, right?
Oh, I need to silence my watch, actually, think about that. Seeing as I've just heard it go ding.
What a 21st century problem.
Isn't it? First world issues. My technology is noisy. And that elephant in the background as well, making a trunky noise.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have a wrist attachment, but it's not a watch. It's one of those step trackers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In case you're wondering, my title for today is Massively Fucking Under. What it is, I've kind of factored in that I'll walk into work from Victoria, obviously not from Rochester, but I definitely get my steps out there. I walk into work from Victoria, and I'll walk at lunchtime. And the last few days, the weather's been shit, so I haven't done that.
All right.
But I've had to really kind of go some. Like yesterday, I walked from Gillingham Station up to the Honourable Pilot, and that was about 2 miles. Just because I didn't have any steps and I was meeting some friends.
Right.
It would be easier.
Glutton for punishment, mate.
Thrilling, I know.
Glutton for punishment.
But it gives me a chance to check my mentions, Mark, because, you know, it's taken increasingly longer.
yeah. There it is.
Internationally syndicasted podcaster. But I like to bang on about it or anything.
No. Please.
They had some proper... You listened to the Tumbling Saber this week, Mark.
I did.
They had some proper issues, like technically.
Yeah.
Never known them to have so many problems.
Yeah, the Gremlins got the better of them, didn't it?
Here's a weird one. I have a missed call from 4:10 a.m. on Sunday morning, so they obviously tried to get me in on the show.
Oh, apparently, unless they lost everybody and tried to reestablish the call when you were on it.
I think they did mention in the show that one of them was accidentally worried they'd call me.
Yeah.
So I don't know who it was. I can't remember.
I think they all had a go at calling you.
It may have been Corey, I think, as well. Like, I remember him specifically. He's got they've all got very distinctive voices, which is nice.
Yeah.
He's very handy in that respect.
Each of them have written in this week, so.
Oh, that's good.
We've got quite a bit of listener. Listener.
Talk Star Wars Canada.
Yeah, we'll suck them in.
Yeah, one day.
They'll get caught in our tractor beam. Right, should we kick this off?
Sure.
Okay, we want to divvy this up. Paul, would you like to read any of the listener emails, or would you like us to do that?
I don't mind. Where are they?
Jules. Under listener.
Yeah, I'm trying to get head or tail around this. Like I say, you've got an exhausted pile of crap with you tonight, so.
That's all right, mate. We can do it, and we'll just bounce the topic around as we go.
I can do a Force Awakens question from Kyle because it's about 4 words.
What's Kyle? The deal with?
Oh, isn't that the Kyber crystal?
Yes.
Yes. That's going to be the.
With the Kyber crystal?
We've got ads in here as well, right?
Oh, marvelous!
No, I've added a question from ads at the end, so that'll be a surprise.
Oh, okay.
For you.
Oh, right.
Okay. And Paul, what we'll do is. Well, I'll just kick it off, and then it'll go from me to Rob, and then just to you, rather than do a guest spot intro. You can just be part of the fittings.
All right.
Is that good?
Oh.
Okay.
More than good.
Video's off?
Video's off, and let me just start a new record. After Dogs.
Can I bail, gentlemen?
No, not at all, mate. I was gonna bring something up.
I want to give us some time.
Oh, right, okay, mate. All right.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Paul.
Thank you for joining us.
That was good fun. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was great. Awesome stuff. Yeah, cheers, buddy.
Good. Okay, have a super week.
You too, mate. Take care. Bye. I think the thing is with the music, you can use so much of it. Going by YouTube's rules.
Yeah.
You can use something like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I've heard 30 seconds kind of as a sort of benchmark.
That's definitely 30 seconds until you're found.
Yes.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that that's allowed. Reasonable usage.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're allowed. It just means that you're not going to be noted, obviously, you're not going to be flagged up by any content ID algorithms.
Yes. Yeah. I think the thing is that you can use a certain amount of stuff in parody and things like that. If you're doing a parody or something, then that's not such a bad thing. But what we couldn't do is we couldn't take the John Williams soundtrack and then repackage it as the Talk Star Wars soundtrack and sell it.
Of course,
that's
yeah.
What, that's obviously
that
what
goes,
they're...
That goes without saying.
So, yeah, I mean, what we use, I guess it's... we will use it until someone says not to. I think it's fair yeah, use. Right. This isn't something that we sell.
No, so nor do we, like you said, nor do we make it look like we're affiliated with Lucasfilm in any official capacity.
Yeah, and I haven't sort of said that I wrote that piece of music.
Yeah. Are you downloading or uploading something, by the way?
No, what's that, mate?
Because your voice has sounded very robotic all of a sudden, like the call's being distorted.
Oh, I'm converting some of the files.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's that. It doesn't matter. Obviously, welcome to the Talkstar Wars After Dark Side, where I interview a cyborg.
Is it still wonky?
A little bit, yeah. Is it? It's getting better.
Let me just...
improving a bit. Yeah, it's definitely improving, like, markedly in the last couple of seconds.
Okay, I'll just shut down this piece of software, because it might be that I'm overloading the RAM on the Mac. Is that better?
Yeah.
I'm back on the Skype software now. So
yeah, this seems to be it's a little bit better.
Okay,
because I mean I can make out what you're saying clearly. It's just a little bit weird.
Okay, that's
all. Make for an interesting recording.
Yeah,
I'd say Rob versus the robots.
Yeah, Rob versus the robots. Yeah, so well, that's a shame. Yeah. I wanted to talk to Paul about something that I'd seen on the TV this week. It was the ISS had shut down its cameras.
The ISS?
Yeah, the space station.
Oh, okay.
Because the implication or the inference was that there was a UFO.
Oh, okay.
And so there was something in orbit.
To investigate.
And they shut the cameras down so that we couldn't see it.
Ooh,
and okay. Paul and I tend to love that stuff. We one of my favourite podcasts that I've done so far was one that Paul and I did on our own one night. We had this grand plan to sit down and take a topic, something supernatural.
Okay.
And break it down. So he would come at it as a believer and I would come at it as a skeptic, pretty much a Mulder and Scully approach.
That's interesting. I've told you about my friend's podcast, haven't I? Two of my friends run a show where they basically take opposing points of view on a subject.
Yes.
And debate it. It sounds kind of like, you know, in a similar vein.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind
of. But with much more of a specific focus, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just going to be about supernatural. So the first thing we did was UFOs.
Okay.
Paul was sending me loads of evidence, video evidence and photographs. And I was just like. Not trying to, but I was coming at it with a slightly more, I wouldn't say scientific because I'm certainly not qualified for that, but I was coming at it with a more pragmatic approach, you know, like leveling Occam's razor at it, I suppose. If I was going to do anything, I was saying, well, that's just this or that's just that. And nothing, these things, the video footage we had to look at was only compelling if you came at it with a preconceived notion.
Yeah.
And obviously that's the way Paul brought it to me. Oh, look, I'll show you this and you can clearly see something. Well, I couldn't clearly see that. I could see stuff, but when you start looking at what the, you know, there was movement in a frame, but that could have been ice particles that had come off of the craft and we were looking at them up close, but they looked like they were larger things, but further away moving.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
So, you know, if you need to eliminate every other possibility before you can say that that's legitimate phenomena. But I do find that stuff really fascinating.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's, you know, obviously if you're into any kind of scientific stuff, it throws huge amounts of stuff into question because obviously it's the ultimate question, isn't it? Are we alone in the universe?
Mm.
And the logic dictates that we can't be because of the sheer vast size of the universe.
Yeah. But, it would be ridiculous.
Yeah, it would be crazy to think that it's such a, you know, that the events that led to life on this planet, which are obviously, you know, a series of significant coincidences, all kind of looping in together.
Yeah.
Or not coincidences, but something with long odds. You know, the idea that couldn't happen in a galaxy of that of the universe of that size seems unreal. That it could only happen once.
Yeah.
maybe in this implementation where it's sort of humanoids, but the idea that it's nothing at all anywhere else is, well, if anything, it's kind of supremely arrogant.
Yes, that's exactly the way I've looked at it since I was a nipper, really. That, yeah, it's quite arrogant to think that we're it and that we were built, we were designed by some greater power for whatever purpose.
Well, I don't necessarily, I mean, that's not to say that I think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that there's a kind of a grander, you know, almost like a level of creation above us, whether they, you know, whatever you want to call it, whether it's deities or whatever. And obviously everybody has their own opinions on that, and I'm not seeking to disparage them. I'm purely thinking along the lines of just, you know, I fully swing with the possibility that there's a level of existence higher than the one we occupy. Like I say, whether it's kind of what we would class as a deity or just a more evolved level of intelligence.
Yeah.
I'm fully kind of open to that possibility. I mean, especially when you look at the world we're in and there's some stuff that's just plain daft.
Yeah.
You know, you think, well, surely, you know, if there's nothing more intelligent than this in the galaxy, we are boned.
Yeah, that's it. I was going to say I'm still open to the possibility of finding intelligent life on Earth.
Yeah. I still think it's like that classic Frasier line, isn't it? When there's a... Have you seen that episode where he's about to endorse a congressional candidate, and just before the endorsement shoots, he tells him he was abducted by aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
And Niles basically is trying to convince Frasier to just get on with it and just record the thing and kind of not so much collect his paycheck, but just get it done and put it behind him.
Yeah.
And he says, "Can you honestly tell me that there's no possibility of intelligent life in the universe?" And he just goes, "At the moment, I'm not convinced there's any in this kitchen." That's one of my favourites.
Oh, it's a great series.
My favourite episode is still the one where they stage the radio play as an anniversary thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love Niles ends up doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, because that's the reason I love it. It's just because it hits every note. The timing of everything is just so perfect.
Yeah.
And just Niles' silliness just gets kind of more and more ridiculous. That sort of thing, and he kind of goes out of his way to derail it once he realizes what's going on.
No, it's brilliant.
And it's just a wonderful episode. You know, there's like every show has that kind of, for me, has that one episode that I can never stop thinking about when I think of a good episode.
Yeah.
Like IT Crowd's got that one. For me, it's the one where they go to the theater to watch the gay musical called Gay.
I've not seen the IT Crowd. It's one of the things on my list I need to watch.
If you watch one episode, and you should, I mean, I'd recommend watching at least the first three series. I mean, season four has some good moments, but I wouldn't say it's as consistent. But if you watch one episode above them all, watch series two, episode one, which is a trip. It's called The Work Outing, and it's just, again, it's just this masterpiece of comedic timing. And just the way they use the cameras to reveal the gags and things like that is just nothing short of superb.
I'll have to look into that. I'm pretty sure they're all on Netflix, aren't they, the IT Crowd?
It might well be, you know. Further than that, I mean, I've got DVDs you can borrow.
I'll have a look.
I mean, obviously it's standard def, but...
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I've got 4K TV. I look like a toilet.
Yeah, true. Didn't look great. I do find myself like I've had. Obviously, we're recording in late July. Obviously, it'd be early August by the time this goes out. But have you been following the iTunes promotion, the Blockbuster July?
Yes.
There's been some really good movies in that. Some really good ones. $3.99 each.
Yeah,
it's been brilliant. I picked up Fury Road. I picked up Interstellar. Edge of Tomorrow, lots of science fiction stuff.
Yeah, I've been,
you know, I like that stuff.
I've been picking
up. Obviously, Fury Road's not science fiction, I know. Don't jump on me comments.
Yeah, I've been picking up a few bits in there as well. But I also launched, did you notice I launched a new Tumblr this week?
I didn't, no. Is it related to your Facebook page?
Yeah, HD Movie Deals. I wanted to find a way that it was easier for me to do these things en masse. You'll notice the links that have been dropping into Facebook haven't looked the same as they were previously. So there's no thumbnail art or anything. That's because I'm sharing everything from iTunes into this Tumblr, and then that's decanting it into Facebook, and it's tweeting out a link as well through my personal Twitter account, not through Talk Star Wars. So everything is there, but I'm finding a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, there's a there's loads of $4.99 deals at the moment. Have you seen any of those?
There's been some good ones. A lot of the stuff I've looked at is just, I mean, it's I don't get paid till tomorrow, so I'm right up and I'm running right into the ground on my accounts. Obviously, I've been sort of steering clear of that stuff for now, but I may pick up a few bits.
Stuff like the Mission Impossible films and the Bourne movies. Yeah. You can get all the Bourne movies for a tenner. Get all the Back to the Future films for £12.
Yeah, this is it, you know. There's some really good stuff on there.
If you're looking to bulk out your library, this is the time to do it.
For sure. I really think that iTunes have got their shit together when it comes to digital pricing a bit more. Because they used to be ridiculous.
It was extortionate. You used to
be able to buy the Blu-ray with a digital copy for £13, and then it was 20 bloody quid for the digital copy on its own. It makes no sense.
Do you remember
it happened on Amazon as well, because I remember once I bought a CD because... I bought the CD with a digital copy because it worked out cheaper than just buying the digital copy.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense to me then. And I did it anyway, because obviously it was cheaper. And I thought, well, at least, you know, I can always put the CD in my car and listen to it when I'm driving.
Yeah.
But my CD player in my car doesn't have a MP3 slot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those things I've never had in my cars. I've always used adapters and cables and shit like that. One of those things.
It's worth... I'm just flicking through the Facebook page now, and Gravity went on there today. Trainspotting, $4.99. Martians now down to $7.99. Man of Steel, $6.99.
Yeah. I may pick up the Batman, Superman, Man of Steel double pack, because it's $13.99 for Batman, Superman, or $16.99 with Man of Steel, which I think is a bargain.
Right, what one's that one?
There's a double pack. It's Batman, Superman, Ultimate Cut, and then it's Man of Steel. And I think last time I checked, it was £17.
Right, let's do this live, right? So I've just jumped into the iTunes store, so you keep an eye on the Facebook page. So Batman versus Superman.
Yep.
And Man of Steel.
It should be on the front page last time I checked.
Yeah,
should be on the front page somewhere. When you say do this live, what are we doing?
$16.99. You keep an eye on the Facebook page.
Okay.
Because
you're gonna put me an affiliate link up.
That's how easy that is now.
Wow. Okay. So it's iTunes. So it's iTunes HD movie deals, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah. Got it there. Okay. Right, so
that's in there now.
That was fast.
And it should have gone out on my Twitter account as well, so I should be able to see that because I follow myself. I should.
How do you manage that?
There it is.
I didn't realize you could.
All piggery jokery, mate. All piggery jokery.
But you know what's really frustrating is, as somebody who's got two Twitter accounts, you'll appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
When the fact that you can now retweet your own tweets is a pain in the fucking ass, because I have enough trouble figuring out which bloody account I'm in in a general rule.
Right.
Just like it's bad enough doing that, and then to add into the mix that I could also be accidentally retweeting the tweet I've just tweeted from the same account.
Yeah.
I look like a right pillock.
Yeah,
I'm already spamming Twitter enough. Like people I know who are just friends with me and don't follow me for blogging reasons or anything like that, they're remarking on this stuff. Their timeline just gets dominated for like 5 minutes by me not only posting it from... So obviously I post it from the Emotionally 14 Twitter, and then I retweet it from my own personal account. But I do about up to a dozen sometimes.
Yeah.
Just because I don't get time. You know like how some tools let you schedule it for like hourly?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't get the time to do it hourly, and I don't know how to use the automated tools.
Right. Okay.
So I just have to. I just spam a big pile of links out in the morning, and if I get a chance, I do a smaller pile in the afternoon.
Well, I'm using Crowdfire.
Yeah, I've got Crowdfire, but I can't figure out where to find the automated stuff.
Have you? You're using it on a different platform to me, aren't you? Or are you using it on your iPod Touch?
I have an iPad. I've got Crowdfire on that, I think.
Okay, the iPad app doesn't work quite the same way for publishing.
Oh.
So you'll need the version, you need to have the publish option in your app, which is why you're having trouble.
Oh, no, I've tried it on the desktop as well, and I had a look at the publish option. I couldn't really figure out what I was supposed to be doing.
Right, okay, so with published, like I'm going into publish on Crowdfire now. I'm sure this is riveting for people listening to the podcast.
Oh, thrilling, I'm sure.
This will be over before you know it. Because I had someone call me out this week because I'd been republishing a week-old Twitter poll tweet.
Oh, that was an accident, wasn't it?
It was an accident because
I gathered there was a. I did spot it, and I thought I meant to mention it to you, and it just slipped my mind.
See, what I've been doing is, like, when I wake up in the morning, as I'm sort of coming to, I'll grab the phone and I'll go through. I'll open up Crowdfire, and then I'll go through all the tweets that I've selected to publish daily. Mm-hmm. So they go out around my other interactions on Twitter.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance. At 10 a.m. today, I published, you want to see some Star Wars-related videos, including Wild Speculation and Theories, and check us out on our YouTube channel, right?
Yeah.
That I'm now going to republish. So you just click on that tweet, and then there's a reschedule. So you click reschedule.
Okay.
And then it adds it back into your publish line at the next appropriate period in time.
Run that by me quickly again. You publish, then you choose your tweet, or you write your tweet.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, no, I haven't got publish.
No, because you're on iPad, right?
No, I'm on the desktop one, and I don't have it either.
Well, no, you're probably going to need to grab a mobile version of that.
Oh, wait, shit. Oh, fuck, I've just done something by accident. Fucking bollocks.
What's up? What have you just done?
I've accidentally clicked, you know that thing where it sends a tweet, like, oh, I've following this many people who don't follow me back. It's like I'm trying to guilt Eddie Izzard.
Oh yeah.
Into
what a random choice.
I know. He's the first one on the list. That's why.
Poor Eddie.
I like Eddie. You know. I wish, like a lot of comedians, I wish he'd stay out of off question time.
Yeah.
And that's not because of Eddie, because I love Eddie. I'm a big fan of his stand-up. He's one of my comedic heroes, and he's one of those people I always kind of tried to model myself on when I did do stand-up. But just comedians on Question Time, I just don't enjoy them. I just find them a bit sort of superficial in terms of what they talk about. You know?
Yeah, and they're probably not in possession of all the information and the requisite press training to be able to get away with it.
Quite so, and also a lot of them tend to come from similar backgrounds. It tends to be, you know, rather than, you don't, like, for example, you get a lot of working class stand-ups, but you don't tend to get, you know, you don't tend to get them on Question Time. It tends to be, you know, the more kind of metropolitan ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they've all got a kind of similar point of view.
University grads.
Yeah, exactly.
Privileged backgrounds. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I found it now. There's a little rocket ship.
That's it, yeah. So you go into that.
On the desktop. I don't know is that also an iPad option?
It's not an iPad, but it's on the mobile version, so I've got it on the phone.
Pretty weird that you do it that way round and not the other.
You have a timeline then of posts that are greyed out, and they're previous tweets that you've sent through the app.
Yeah.
So you can click on that. And then reschedule it. And what it will do is it will reschedule it for the most beneficial time for you to publish a tweet. So if you're doing it during the day and Twitter's pretty active, you might only get a couple of minutes before that will tweet out. But I schedule all my tweets at usually about 6 a.m. So they don't publish for an hour or so. So I can republish all my tweets. Then I go back and then I schedule them for whatever time I want during the day. And I mix it up a little bit. So I'll put a tweet out at 1 p.m. one day. I'll see how it performs, and then I might put it out at 10 a.m. the next day and see if it hits a different reception. So I use it to do that. But this system I've set up for the HD movie deals on Tumblr, means that I can now share things straight out of iTunes really easily, and I can schedule them to publish through Tumblr on the hour, every hour, throughout the day.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure my boss thinks I'm sitting in my office just tweeting all day.
Yeah.
Because he follows me on Twitter, so every hour he's seeing like tweets coming out here, tweets going out there, but I've scheduled it all.
Yeah.
Before I've even got out of bed, I do the whole day's
tweets. I'll have to do a bit of experimenting, I think, with the... It would save me a lot of aggro.
It's good if you've got platform building tweets that you put out there. So follow us on Twitter or join us on Facebook or subscribe to our YouTube. Yeah. You know, they're the things that they're important to get out there because they're doing some heavy lifting. But the stuff that I'm bouncing around throughout the rest of the day, retweeting or commenting or mucking around with Jeremy about his collector project and all that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah, on that subject, I have an idea for a project.
You do?
For a Talk Star Wars one. I've talked about it in the past, but I have a bit more fleshed out sort of elevator pitch for you now.
Okay.
So you don't have to leave this in if you want to sort of keep it as a surprise.
It's up to you, mate. It's your idea.
So the premise is that I go back to.
Let me just warn you. I will not take this out because I'm lazy. So if you don't want it to hit the podcast, I'll stop recording and you can tell me off air.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll talk to you about it once we stop recording. That's fine.
All right. Let's wrap this one up then, because we're going to be putting out like a 40-minute episode or whatever anyway, and we've had a nice little chat, and people have got the dark and dirty on how I do my tweets now.
Yeah. So I've had a basic introduction to Crowdfire, which is handy.
Yeah, it's good. Basic training.
Yeah.
That's what. Yeah.
Nice.
It's a good app, really good app. I like it a lot. And it does help you keep track of all the people that unfollow you and they've only followed you to get a follow back.
I've been spotting them. Yeah. And I'd keep going like, got you bastard.
Yeah, I just jettison them.
It's strangely satisfying, isn't it? You're just like, aha, got you shitbag.
But it's also, it gives me a horrible look at how fickle I am as a human being.
How do you mean?
Well, if someone unfollows me... You
can't just live and let live.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's different if it's like, if somebody's just followed you, you followed them back, and then like a month later, they just decide that there's nothing for them there and they unfollow. That's one thing. But if you're talking about somebody who's literally done it within a matter of days, they've consciously gone out there to get follows and they're manipulating people. And I think you're within your rights to, within your rights either way to unfollow them if you want. But I think it's more understandable. You know, I can understand how somebody might follow somebody and then just go, oh, you know what, actually, this isn't what I thought. Like this, you know, let's say for argument's sake, somebody followed me on Twitter and I tweeted out a lot about politics. I don't, but let's say I did. And they went, oh, blimey, no, he's a conservative or whatever. But I mean, regardless of whichever one it is, like, you know, oh, he's far too liberal for my liking, or he's far too conservative or whatever. You can understand why they might unfollow you, because you might have just sent I've been doing just like random joke tweets in trending topics this week.
Yeah.
And I picked up a couple of followers that way, where people have just sort of gone, oh, he's, you know, I like his tweet, I'll just follow him, which is fair enough, and more power to them. And, you know, thank you for that. Yesterday was ridiculous. Like, if you look at my, you know, do you keep up with the Twitter impressions?
I don't really.
I know you don't read your own, but like, you know, sort of what makes a good one, basically.
What makes a good tweet?
Like, what makes a decent day's worth of impressions?
I mean. No, I don't put any stock in it, mate. Not that it's not, not that it's not important. It's just I'm always doing other things. No.
So I'll give you an idea though. So Saturday, 202 for the day. Monday, 993. You can tell when I'm back at my desk and can tweet out the odd thing here and there.
Yeah.
And Wednesday, 3,397.
How are you seeing the days? Are you on the desktop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do it by individual. There's like a little picture, like a little tweet activity panel on your if you're logged in on your own page, you've got like a little panel that says like your tweet activity this week, and it will break it down by individual days, but as a general rule it will break it down by individual tweets. Oh no, it will do it by individual days if you go into the analytics menu.
I'm just trying now. Let's have a look.
Like I say, I find it interesting, and I kind of keep track of it just for my own interest, mainly so I can go, oh, you know, that, you know, that month was really good, and I can look, and I can, if I want, I can have a look back and look and go, what did I tweet out that was so popular? And then I can look at it as a way of like, oh, well, you know, like using certain hashtags works better than like better than others, things like that sort of thing.
Where am I finding it?
So if you select your the little picture of you as Talk Star Wars, there's a drop down. Like the first one should be View Profile. You've got Lists.
Analytics.
So open that one up, and then you should have your breakdown of the month to date.
Okay.
And you'll get like a little panel with, you know, top mention, top tweet, top most popular follower.
So is this for July? Oh, yeah. 180,000 impressions for July.
What? Bloody hell.
Up 76.8%.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. Mine's 32,300. I thought that was good.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
You know,
it's heavy.
If you look back at some of my, if you look back at some of my months, there's been some crazy stuff. Like I got 100 new followers this month. Mental. I don't understand how. What I'm doing, I'm not doing anything differently. I'm just talk Star Wars, E14, and the occasional trending tweet and whatever's on my mind at the time.
It's just being active, isn't it?
Totally. You know, it's sometimes it's also luck of the draw. Like I've replied to people before who've got a decent following. And if they spot it and retweet it, then you get a big amount of big bump of impressions that way. Most popular tweet is still wishing you a happy birthday as well.
Yeah, is it? My most the top tweet is the last week's Twitter poll.
I can believe it. Yeah, they get a lot of interaction.
Yeah, top mention was something that went out via Pod and Family. That's definitely my hottest hashtag.
Mine is the picture of the surprise podcast we did for celebration.
Oh yeah.
Picture of me, you and Steve, 26 engagements. This is the thing, it doesn't sound like a lot. If people are listening and they're like, oh, it doesn't sound like a lot, it's not. But at the same time, if you compare it to some of the other, I mean, if I could show you figures and go back, I'm not going to, because obviously it's quite boring for anybody who doesn't follow it. But if you know, I've been back through my old sort of records of, you know, like previous months and stuff, and it is quite markedly remarkable how much difference being on Talk Star Wars has made to my social media following.
It's that Star Wars name, mate. Yeah, it's that Star Wars name.
Yeah, it helps a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that obviously the quality of programming we put out is second to none.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
we're kind of a big deal.
Owning it.
I'd say 180,000 is significant.
180,000, 76% up.
Yeah,
that's more than before.
Well, to give you an idea, that's more than my personal profile and E14 combined, which is about 110,000, I think.
We're moving in the right direction.
I think so.
Just want to grow the community a little bit more, really, don't we?
Totally. I mean, what's nice about Talk Star Wars versus Emotionally 14 is I'm happy with, I mean, I've said it before and I'll keep saying it. I'm happy with the output in terms of quality of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with the views and the interactions. I'd like more, but I'm content with what I've got. What I would like more of is interaction.
Yes.
Like more engagement from the people who do read that stuff. Even just to say, oh, I didn't like what you did there. So at least next time I know, oh, I actually actively annoyed somebody, maybe I won't do it. You know what I mean?
Like
if I'm like this month, for example, I did one of these Z boxes and it's a much shorter video because I didn't do the, I didn't read the magazine.
Right.
And like, I sort of went through in previous months, it comes with a little sort of souvenir magazine. And in previous months, I've kind of explored some of the features of in the magazine. This time I didn't do that. I just sort of skimmed through it and it's much shorter, but it's actually got more views. But I want to know, are the people who are viewing it actually enjoying it more because it's not got the magazine, or would they prefer that I do that stuff? But that's not something I necessarily get from people telling me, unless they tell me via a comment or via an email or something, you know. I that's the kind of thing I would quite like to
get
more of, is people actively sort of engaging with that stuff.
Yeah, I've wanted that. I mean, what we're getting now, I could never have hoped for, this sort of interaction, these emails from people. And we did a 2-hour podcast tonight, not including this,
yes,
because of the interaction from everybody else. And
Well, quite so, yeah.
I just find that so, and it's really caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting it to be that. I was hoping when we started that we might get feedback from people saying, yeah, I dig that, but I don't like that. You know, like Connor tonight, he said, I'm glad you're moving the spoiler stuff to post credits.
Yeah.
That sort of thing I was hoping for. Yeah.
As the ending. Yeah. Stuff like that.
But I do really love the interaction that we're getting, and I couldn't really ask for more. But it's pretty much because we're not getting the, because we're not getting people say, I don't really like that section, or, you know, because we don't get that. It's very much a finger in the air, and it's sort of taking something away and seeing what effect that has, and then putting it back if it has a negative effect, or dropping it altogether. Mm-hmm. And I use the same approach on the website as well. I throw stuff out there. Like when I put an insights out, people, I get more response to that, and it generates more conversation than when I was putting out things like comparison Ford, which was that spot the difference thing I did for a while.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
because I thought that was funny, and I thought people would get a blast, would get some fun out of that. But it just didn't seem to land. I didn't get anything back. I mean, Jeremy was always going, I found him, and I thought, oh, you're beating everybody to it.
I think you should bring it back as like a one-off one day.
Yeah,
it's like now we've got a slightly more, you know, as our following builds up, we shouldn't be afraid to
try
give
those
things
again.
Another yeah, just like even just bringing it back as like a, here's a bit of fun, we did this once, see if you can spot it.
Yeah.
And just the people who didn't get to do that stuff get to. This is why, like, even after I've released a podcast, I go back and I plug the same episode, the most recent episode, over and over again.
Yeah.
Because people don't necessarily see it on the day it's released, but they will, you know, they get a chance to go back and take it out later.
Which is not something I do that often, really. I sort of tease that the podcast is going to hit iTunes or YouTube. I tease it an hour ahead of time, but I don't really go back and pimp it again for the rest of the week. Perhaps I should.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what you mean.
We were going to jump off this.
We were. It's one of those weird balances, isn't it?
It is a balancing act. Let's wrap this up, and then you can tell me your idea for this project that you want to do. So, very quick outro. I'm at Talk Star Wars on Twitter. Rob?
I'm at Rob Wade Vision.
Get our impressions up, people. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, guys. Bye.